He died because of a damned timepiece. Anthony Coventry, the 9th Duke of Thornley, took what comfort he could from knowing word of his idiocy would go to the grave with him. Although, at that particular moment, any sort of comfort was difficult to come by. The ruffians were indeed rough, two of them tugging off his boots, another his jacket, while the fourth struggled to unhook the watch chain from his waistcoat button. Odd thing that the thief was now taking such care, when only moments before he'd landed a blow to the side of Thorne's head that had left him temporarily senseless. Which might have resulted in his decision to stand his ground over the watch. Without much of a fuss, he'd handed over his purse and signet ring. It wasn't a fool. 4-1 odds weren't good. Money and rings could be replaced. The punch to his temple had come about because he hadn't surrendered the items quickly enough for the ringleader's satisfaction. "We want the timepiece faster," the lout had stated with a sneer. The timepiece. It had been handed down through 4 generations. The engraved crest on the cover had been worn thin, from one duke after another rubbing and worrying his thumb over it when faced with a difficult decision. He'd been 10 and 5 when his father, on his deathbed, in a moment of rare lucidity, had placed it against his palm and folded his fingers over it.
"Your legacy. Guard it well. Make me proud."
So, to the oafs surrounding him in the dark mews with the fog swirling about, he'd announced,
"I fear, gentlemen, I've handed over all I intend. The watch stays with me."
He might have answered differently had he seen the knives earlier. No, he bloody well would not have. They'd gotten him in the thigh, the side, the shoulder, the arm. The blows from hard knuckles and booted feet that had followed, when he dropped to his knees, had taken him down completely, left him lying there in the dirt and grime, feeling his warm blood soaking through what remained of his clothing and turning cold. The edges of his vision had long been darkening, until all he could see were the grubby hands closing around the treasured watch.
"Got it!"
the bastard cried.
"No!"
screamed through the pulsing thrum, rushing between his ears. Must have screamed through his mouth as well, because the thief widened his eyes, just as Thorne's tightly balled fist, backed by whatever lingering strength remained to him, landed a solid punch to the miscreant's jaw. The satisfying crunch of bone cracking echoed through the night, just before another knife slid through skin and meat and muscle.
"Oi! What the devil are you lot up to?"
The men froze as the demanding shout reverberated around them, bouncing off the wall of the surrounding buildings.
"Christ, it's Gil. Let's get the bloody hell out of here,"
the leader muttered as though his jaw was no longer properly hinged. He heard their thundering feet fading away in the distance as they raced off. Another sound followed, softer footsteps but more hurried. He became vaguely aware of a presence, someone kneeling beside him, gentle hands touching him with care. "Ah, hell, you're a bloody mess." An angel's voice. He didn't think she was swearing, but making a truthful statement regarding his blood-soaked clothes. Where had she come from? A companion to the fellow named Gil? Had he gone after the footpads? He wished he could see her more clearly, but the darkness was closing in on him.
"My watch."
She leaned nearer and brought with her the scent of
beer?
"Pardon?"
"Watch."
The blackguard had dropped it. He'd heard it fall. In desperation, he patted the ground at his side. He needed to find it. Then she took his hand, cradled it within hers, long slender fingers closing around him.
"There's no timepiece, pet. Nothing here."
There had to be. He was supposed to pass it on to his son someday. But there would be no son now. no heir, no spare, no wife, only death.